What did Jesus look like? Come on, you've got the thoughts in your head, what you think he looked like. And well, here's the thing. In 2001, the retired medical artist, Richard Neave, led a team of Israeli and British forensic anthropologists and computer programmers in creating a new image of Jesus based on an Israeli skull dating back to the first century AD, though no one claims it's an exact reconstruction of what Jesus himself looked like. Scholars consider this image around 5 feet tall, with dark skin, dark eyes, and shorter, curlier hair to be more accurate than many artists' depictions of the Son of God when he was here on this planet. For her 2018 book, What Did Jesus Look Like?, author Joan Taylor used archaeological remains, historical texts, and ancient Egyptian funerary art to conclude that the most likely people in Judea and Egypt around that time, Jesus most likely had dark eyes, dark black hair, olive skin, and may have stood about 5'5" tall, the average man's height at that time. I'm starting to feel like a basketball star all of a sudden. 5'5". But you know what? Welcome to the new era. Recently, they let a computer, an AI, take a shot at it. They fed in all the information concerning region, date, ethnicity. They did not allow the name Jesus to be fed into the model for fear that the computer would access databases and come up with its own images. Then they asked the computer, render an image of what you think Jesus looked like. And this is what the computer came up with. All agree that these more recent images of Jesus, including darker, perhaps curly hair, dark skin, dark eyes, come closer to the truth. However, this side of heaven, we can never really know exactly what Jesus looked like when he walked this planet. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone that looked like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades." And all of the above efforts that I showed you were always focused on the humanity of Jesus. What did Jesus look like? What were his physical attributes? Did he have a beard? Was it a full beard? Was it the Santa Claus beard? Did he shave the sides? Was he partially bald? Because that's kind of the thing for that era. That's what Jewish males, they had male bald, male pelt. That makes me feel good. Maybe I have more in relation with Jesus than I think. What did he physically look like? And that's because in a backwards way, this is our attempt to connect to Jesus. In the first chapter of Revelation, John comes face to face with an image of Jesus that looks nothing like what we are familiar with. John pictures, there's no way to get around it. It had many connections to what we see in Daniel when he saw God. Now, something that we need to remember is that John actually knew what the human version of Jesus looked like. Remember, this is John. He walked with him. He talked with him. He ate with him. He prayed with him. He laughed with him. He even cried with him. And he was the only disciple standing at the foot of the cross when he was crucified, according to Scripture. So John knew exactly what human Jesus looked like. But when John sees Jesus, he's not focused so much on the humanity of Jesus. He is focused on the godliness of Jesus. It would connect itself to other images that are later revealed in Revelation. So I'm telling you all this to give you the warning label. So I used this picture that I took off of the internet that is very close to what John probably saw in his vision from our perspective. Please don't get too caught up on the characteristics of this image, because we're not exactly sure if this is how John saw it. This is just a human picture. So as we're walking through these verses in chapter 1, we're going verse by verse, and today we are going to jump into verse 15. And I'd like to remind you that, like the previous verses in this particular sermon series, each verse seems to deal with two aspects of Jesus. Verse 13 dealt with the Son of Man and how he was dressed. Verse 14, we'll be back and we'll dig into these two attributes, dealt with his hair and his eyes. And as we get to verse 15, we get his feet and his voice. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And both of these attributes seem to point themselves to the authority of God. Everything about it points to Jesus having the authority of God. One day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and the courts, proclaiming the good news, of the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him and said, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" So authority is real simple. It's the right or the power to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. And I start here because all the way back when Jesus was walking on this planet and people could look him eye to eye, they could see his face, they knew how tall he was, they could describe him, they could make a wanted poster if they wanted to, they knew what Jesus looked like, they still struggled with Jesus' authority. Although Jesus did answer them and he cited his own authority in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So I got this authority. This was given to me. But then, in what is kind of a twist, Jesus says, "But I am my own authority." John chapter 7, verses 28 through 29. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I came from. You know You know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me." I don't have to have somebody tell me I can do this because I am he. You know what he's saying, right? I am God here in the flesh. So when we get to this verse 15, John points out two very interesting aspects of this image, this vision that he sees about Jesus. And the first thing he focuses on is he looks down and he looks at his feet. And his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 6, we get a verse that Daniel, who saw an image that some debate who this image really was. And this is how Daniel described the feet of this particular vision. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms like his arms and legs gleaming like burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. That sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it? That's a lot like what John saw. So you guys know me. I got to know, what on earth is burnished bronze? And when you look it up, come to find out, burnished bronze is the bronze that was melted and then they dissolved, they melted silver, and then they blended the two together so that you would get the beauty of bronze and the strength, I mean, the beauty of silver and the strength of bronze. And surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, all those things in the temple that we think about made up of gold, gold-plated, gold solid, all the things that were used in service in the temple were made of burnished bronze. The pots, shovels, and sprinkling bowls, all these objects were here made for King Solomon, for the temple of the Lord, were of burnished bronze. And again, it would have been used because, once again, these are things that are going to be used every single day, so you don't want to have something that's going to chip or break or be inflexible. You want something that's going to be strong, but also they wanted it to be something that would be beautiful. So when John looked down and he sees Jesus' feet and he says, wow, they're strong, but there's something beautiful about the strength that he sees. In fact, John says they were glowing. Here's the funny thing about that metal. When you have burnished bronze and you heat it up, it doesn't glow red. You know what it glows? White. So when John saw Jesus, he looked down and he saw his feet. These things are glowing, hot, white, burnished bronze. Interesting enough, the feet are coupled with the eyes in the message to the church of Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now, we're going to discuss the eyes. I told you we're coming back, but I got to give you a spoiler alert. The eyes were all about Jesus was all-seeing. He could see everything in your life from beginning to end. It was like burned into, he could see who you are. But these feet tell us, well, there's a good typo, but not only does Jesus see all, he has the authority to deal with what he sees. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he will sit in his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And because of this authority of God, this gives Jesus the authority to be our one true judge. I don't get to make the judgment calls. People ask me, well, do you think so-and-so is a Christian? I don't get to make the judgment calls. There's only one person that gets to make that judgment call, and his name is Jesus. Moreover, the Father of judges, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming, is now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For the Father has life in himself, so that he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, as he has given him the authority to judge, because he is, and here's our term from sermon number one, the Son of Man. As we're heading into Easter, this is something that we need to remember. The feet that were nailed to the cross are now forged, refined, and full of power, and full of strength, because this is Jesus. So let's talk about the other aspect here. What about his voice? It says his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Yeah, I got the voice for that one, don't I? That, by the way, that's level two. I got a few more levels if you need louder, but we'll get to that. And I got to ask you, in this image of Jesus, why so loud? Why use that tone of voice? Why so loud? I might have just scared the kids downstairs. I don't know. But why so loud? I mean, when God spoke to Elijah. He spoke in a still, small voice. The Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And the great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a whisper. And that is where Elijah heard God. But not now. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. John says, when I hear Jesus, when I saw Jesus, it was like the sound of a rushing water. And well, when you think about this, I'm like, man, I surely wish I could help people understand this. I've been somewhere to experience what true rushing water sounds like. It's this wonderful place called Niagara Falls. And when you go to Niagara Falls and you go down on that lower platform, and you're standing there with all of those falls going over top of your head, and you've got somebody standing right next to them, you've got about yelling the person next to you so the person next to you can hear a single word they're saying. I'm like, how could I help you understand what that feels like? If you're wearing a hearing aid, you might want to find a level to go down. See, when Jesus came the first time, people chose not to listen to him. And you know what? They try to drown out the noise, but there is no drowning this out. Because when Jesus comes again, when now you face Jesus, the Bible says he has got the sound of rushing waters. You have no choice. You shall listen. Whether you choose to hear, that's your decision, but you will listen to him. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me and you know where I am from. I am not from here I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him. He continued to cry out. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but he who sent me. In John's vision that he gets, you understand, you will have no choice. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken out to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. So he is the heir of everything, his authority. Who he appointed the heir of all things, and though whom I'm also he, and though through whom also he has made the universe. It's funny, as we go through the book of Revelation, Jesus wants us to hear him now, today. You get, that's the entire point of the book of Revelation, is to get us to hear him. And as he begins to go church by church and goes through all seven churches, he closes all of them the same way. He who has an ear, let him hear. In other words, listen up, folks. Jesus is the final authority, and he has the final say. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 12. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account for ourselves to God. I read those verses, and there are people in the world that say, yeah, right. Not me. Never, never. You don't understand. Right now, today, you have an option as to whether your knee bows and your tongue confesses. But Jesus is the final authority, and one day, you have no choice. You see, because the reality is, someday, your answer is going to come. You're going to stand in front of Jesus, and you will know what he looks like. The question is, how will you see him on that day? Maybe, when you're standing there at that moment, you're going to see him as your good shepherd. You know, the one whom you place your faith in. You know, the one that you heard his voice on this side of life and you decided to follow. You decided now is the time to bend my knee. Now is the time to allow my tongue to confess. Now is that particular moment. That day when the Good Shepherd comes and calls you by your name because you know who he is. Maybe that's who you're going to see on that day. And you know what? I am looking forward to that day only because that's the image I think I've got. Because my knee is bowed and my tongue is confessed. And I have chosen Jesus. But you know what I really want? I want that image for everybody. Oh, I do. I want that image for each and every person. But unfortunately, there is the image that we see here in Revelation. I say that, and it makes you afraid. You see that image? What did John do when he saw that image? He stood up and said, "Thank you, Jesus." No, what did John do? He fell down like he was dead. Let me give you the literal translation. He fainted at that image. It frightened him. I'm not a fearmonger that tries to scare people into a relationship with Jesus. You understand, that image is just as real as all the images I've shown you. And maybe that day you're going to be looking at an image that just scares you. It's one that looks intimidating because you know what? You have no relationship with this person. You see something that is just oh so powerful. And here's the thing. Both images are accurate. It's just how you choose to see him now will determine how you see him later. See, because on that day when you every knee bows and every tongue confesses, you do understand. It's over. The decision has been made, and it is the final answer. So this morning I'd like to ask you, when you see Jesus, do you see the authority of God? He is the authority. Whether you like it or not. We had this old kids song that we sing, right? God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. That is the most theologically incorrect song that we've ever sang in a church before, because guess what? God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, that is your choice that God has given you. He's given it to each and every person. And I pray that you today exercise that choice to not just see the authority of God, but surrender to the authority of God.